Hello, and we are back for another edition of The Forge. And I'll put the music in here somewhere. Sounds really dope. Dan and I were just having a quick conversation. I hit record so that we didn't get too deep into it. So we are both, we are both fans of the Kingsman movie franchise. I think it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. And I came out of Kingsman 2 thinking, well, they have now England and they have America. They have the Kingsman and the Statesman. I said, what would be the black version of that? And the thing I came up with was the Plainsman, as in like the plains of Africa. So, Dan, what was your question that you just posed to me?
How do you intelligently include the slave trade throughout of all, like, how'd you have the Plainsman trust the Kingsman and the Statesman after everything that's happened to them? Would they be the foil? Like, technically, who would be the bad guy in this scenario?
I don't know. That is a great question. How do you have them trust you? Well, could there be trust but animosity? Because the Plainsmen wouldn't necessarily be the same ones who were back then for the slave trade. So we could say that there's a history between them. Maybe the Plainsmen, the Kingsmen, and the Statesmen all got together and ended that. You know, maybe they were the triangle that stopped the actual people who stopped slavery. You know, like they all got together, ended that stuff, and then gave credit to Abe Lincoln or whatever.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I mean, you can retcon it that way, maybe. I'm trying to remember exactly how the Statesmen came across themselves, because it was like they helped each other at one point, but at the same time, one class was actually subservient to the other for a little while. Or did I miss that?
In terms of like, were Kingsmen better than the Statesmen or vice versa?
Yeah, it's like, how did the Statesman come about? What exactly happened? Like, somebody was the whiskey dealer or something like that to the British?
Well, the Statesmen made their money as whiskey makers, while the Kingsmen were tailors and suit makers or something like that.
Ah, okay.
That was all their right. cover. I think that's what they used as a cover. But the thing is that Kingsmen sold such good whiskey, they made more money than them, I think. So they were the wealthier of the two, but I don't think either one were, and I didn't write the back, so I don't know. So I assume based on the movies that Kingsman just sold more stuff and got more wealthy.
Yeah. See, I have to look that up. I really have to say just to come from a more educated point of view, because I have to see that movie again, because it's been a few months, but yeah, like, how would you intelligently, like, how would you write that script?
I don't know. I think the first question is, before we get too deep into the script, what do the Plainsmen look like?
Oh, man, that's a tinderbox just waiting to go up.
Yeah, because let's look at the pillars of what these three factions look like. So the Kingsmen are, like you said, very old country, very dapper James Bondish suits, old English, you know, they're very stately, as it were. The Statesmen are just cowboys. They're all just cowboys. Yeah. So now if we take that same sort of vertical and we attach it to Africa, how do we pick and choose very respectable looks for them? Because I would never say, let's just put them in, you know, straight up, I don't know, dashikis or something. I don't even know if that's a thing that,
it's like knowing what we know now, right? It's like, and thank you for School of Visual Arts for setting me down this path. Like, Africa's broken up into different countries, and the dress varies very, very different, even down to similar to the Scottish kilts. You know, the pattern on their dashikis, on their clothes, tell a different story of a different tribe, of a different country. So, like, when you're doing that encompass, you know, when you try to encompass one whole continent into one stereotype, it can be very, very difficult because it can become very offensive very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and the I keep closing my eyes and trying to picture how to do this, and the Black Panther trailer keeps popping into my head.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think the only way to do this is to create a sort of fictional unification nation, as it were, that kind of is open to everyone, a very holistic, very like they've created their own sort of culture. So you're not, you're kind of borrowing bits and pieces from other African cultures into and making one sort of amalgam. And I think the Black Panther route that they went down is really interesting because they got a clean slate with Wakanda where they could create this culture and history without directly referencing another African culture.
Yeah, it's a culture within a culture.
Yeah. So I think that's the best way to approach the Plainsman. I keep thinking about Ezekiel from The Walking Dead, where he has a tiger, but I'm thinking that maybe whoever heads up the Plainsman has his own lion.
Maybe.
I like so something like,
No, because I'm really trying to think this out. Because the Kingsmen, they're tailors, right? That's their cover. The statesmen are whiskey dealers. That in itself is problematic, because just alcoholism, like just rampant alcoholism. But in Africa, like
diamonds.
That's the first thing that pops in my head. Right, is definitely diamonds.
Yeah, right? but they can be the guys and ladies who do the diamond trade right. You know, I think the road we need to go down is if it's a bad thing, we can make it right. Like the whiskey dealing in The Statesman isn't portrayed as a bad thing. It's just like, hey, look at this ridiculous setup we have. You know, it was a legit whiskey bottle. They worked inside of a whiskey bottle. That's ridiculous. But it worked for the movie. It was this really hyper-realistic thing. So I think if they're doing diamond trading, they could have, like, this Wakanda-esque, highly technological way to get diamonds out of the ground without, you know, digging or blowing stuff up or causing great damage. Maybe they figured that out. They're like, look, we have this crazy machinery that, and all these scientists who are born here and people who emigrate here to work in this thing because it's so technologically advanced, and we're selling diamonds up the yin yang, and we're so rich so rich that I have my own lion and I run the Plainsman.
They could be conservationists.
They could be conservationists. That would actually be really interesting, like how they actually take care of the animals of Africa to make sure that endangered animals are, you know, taken care of.
And have you heard about the team that is assigned to, you know, to take care of wildlife animals? Like they literally parachute out of the sky when they hear illegal poachers are going out there killing rhinos and so on and so forth. They send to this guy and they drop him out of planes to ambush these dudes. Ooh. Like it's a full-on like war zone out there in terms of trying to protect these animals.
See, I like that better than the diamond trade now, because that makes them could be their own insulated, you know, story of the Plainsmen are actively fighting poachers. And maybe they need the help from the Statesman or the Kingsman to come in and help them with this new super poacher. Like,
well, there you go. And the name, the Plainsman makes the most sense in that case. Then having them be conservationists.
Yeah, I like that idea. Like maybe their entire nation is a conservationist area, and people are trying to come in and poach these animals out of there because they have the most like endangered animals that they're trying to breed. So it becomes big business to send in, you know, assassins or what like high level assassin like poachers to go in, infiltrate this this nation of conservationists run by the Plainsmen and, you know, pick out a white rhino or a pink rhino, you know, something crazy.
Yeah, and that's where the hyperviolence and the hyper action comes into play, because the way they train to be these elite fighters is by protecting these animals.
Exactly.
Parachuting out of planes, dodging bullets. Like,
Matrix all the crazy
stuff that happens. Yeah, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And I would love it if it was old school weapons like muskets being used, but they look like muskets, but they're like super advanced stuff from the poachers, and then the conservationists are using bananas ass nets, just like crazy nets that like,
oh, like the lasso. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the lad, they just chuck some electrified net at a poacher and it like disables their weapons and disables them as well.
Oh, we'll say, EMP nets.
Yeah, exactly. Just turning off tracking, like in the forest, maybe they have like guerrilla style tactics where they have hatches pop up and they jump out and like string people up in the trees and stuff.
I like where this is going. I really do.
Just hang them by their boots. Like, oh, what did you do? And then they like.
But say if we were to throw in stereotypes, we'll say the great white hunter. How do I say? Do we even try to throw him in there as a statesman, as a plainsman? Give him a place.
A white man in the plainsman.
Yep.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, there are white people in Africa. Hmm. There's no, I think for the purpose of this conversation and what website is going under, I think the leader has to be a black guy or a black
Absolutely.
Lady.
Absolutely. So for the sake of acknowledging colonization.
Bam.
Right. I feel as if the great white hunter has to be included in there some way, shape or form.
Yeah. I don't feel like it has to be exclusive. I think the plainsmen are very inclusive. They want to save these animals. Anyone who could save these animals can be part of it. But it's centralized in this African nation run by the African people that are there. And
with that being said, I already have the uniforms in my mind in terms of like how I want them to look. Right. So you have the usual military black ops gear, drafting planes, but I'm going back to what the great white hunter used to look like in terms of like the white shorts, the high socks and the boots and that big old hat mm-hmm. that they wear, the helmet. And that helmet can be tactical, like in the midst of a battle, it could drop down as a face mask at one point.
I like
and
it.
And be bulletproof.
Could be instead of white, all that white. Are you thinking like Clayton from the Tarzan movie style outfit?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So repurposed as, and is this the statesman proper, or is this their like active gear? Like they're going out into the plains to rescue an animal they've already rescued.
This is their active gear.
Okay. I like the idea of this nation being under siege from poachers. That's like, it's like, we're under attack. We need to defend our animals, and maybe statesmen and kingsmen come to help. That's great. Now, who's the leader of this tribe? I'm thinking of a giant Amazon-looking woman with some sort of metal appendage and a pet lion.
That almost sounds bad guy, though. Like, too bad guy-ish.
I like the idea that she lost a limb protecting her animals, and I like the fact that she has a lion.
Maybe the lion's the one that took her arm.
But then and then she kept it?
Yeah, she kept it. She dominated that animal. It's like, I'm here to protect you.
Sure.
But at the same time, I have power over you.
Sure. Why not? And maybe there's a scene in this fictional movie where someone walks in on her staring at the lion and they're having this weird face off and it's quiet for a couple seconds, and then the lion backs down and she goes, "Hi, everyone." She's like, "Sorry, I was having a meeting." I like the idea of, it's like, that's her type of meeting. Like, I'm gonna dominate this animal, make sure it remembers that I don't care if it took my, you know, whatever arm or leg or foot or something. He's like, but I'm still the boss. And every so often she has to stare that lion down. Full grown female lion. So the hunter.
Nice.
I like it. I like this idea. I like where it went.
I'm enjoying this too. Like, as we're speaking, I'm literally closing my eyes and picturing this and how I can translate this to canvas.
For sure, I need you to draw this. I need this. Yeah. I need this in the world. So we have kind of their active gear that you're thinking about. I like the idea of the hunter. Maybe the puffy pants might be a bit much, but the old style, hunter gear being repurposed as conservationist gear could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like formal wear for them. Maybe it's the same thing. Do they consider themselves hunters? They hunt the poachers.
Well, so they live off the land. They're hunters. So like their formal wear could be that cleaned up with a neckerchief.
Yeah. I like the idea of a neckerchief.
Think of Teddy Roosevelt.
Exactly like Teddy Roosevelt. That's perfect. That is perfect. The colors could be darker, dimmer, or maybe sandier. So because they're out in the sand or the bush or the forest or whatever. But I like the idea of an all-purpose neckerchief that has maybe like circuitry in it or something that could do like filter. They put it on their face and it can filter stuff out. So it's not just, it's super tactical. And if they wrap it around their face, it turns into like a stealth mask or something. It can make their face disappear or reconfigure. Oh, that's so good.
The hunting hat can be doubled as like the helmet can come down around the face to protect the face from bullets, or you can take it off and use it as a shield or battering ram. You can do so much with this right now.
I like it. I like this forge. This is a good forge. It's good to be back in the saddle on this. Oh, the placement.
Absolutely, man. This is half the fun. This is like three quarters of fun. Yeah. Wow.
So, all right. So we have the neckerchief. I like that. We have the old style Teddy Roosevelt style clothing. The plainsman as a name, I still think is really good. Conservationist angle is perfect. Friggin' perfect. I like the idea that their entire kind of whatever setup, if we're thinking about Kingsmen and Statesmen, where the Statesmen have this kind of compound that is building whiskey, but also, you know, a spy place. And then there's Kinsmen who had this very out of the way mansion that didn't really correlate to their tailoring, but it was just kind of off to the side. I like the idea that maybe it was like land that they were in, but maybe their conservationist is one big building that looks like a tree or something. It's just this huge building and each floor has a different set of animals. So then you can get to the point where you have kind of like the raid style movie
keep in mind, like the Kingsmen, just like the Statesmen, like they have different branches throughout the continent, throughout England, throughout the States.
That's right.
So the one main office, so like they live on conservation land. They live on preserve lands, right? And they have their own factions there. And they have the ways and means of getting out there faster. Like, you know, the fact that you need a fast plane or a fast helicopter to get you from point A to point B as quickly as possible. Like, they have the technology. They've found ways, you know, to fund what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. They dabble in the diamond trade. They found a way to properly manipulate the markets because, you know, that's another thing that we could talk about in creating these characters is understanding that the diamond trade is a farce, right? It's like people, you know, they like to tell you that diamonds cost so much is because they're so rare, when common knowledge is these days, diamonds are not rare. They're found just about anywhere and everywhere. And the fact you can now make diamonds in factories, you know, makes it even less, less important, less elegant, and so on and so forth.
So what about
maybe they manipulate the markets?
Yeah, maybe they just create their own specific diamond. So we can get out of the, like, they can still be in the diamond trade, but they're like chemists and scientists going back to being like really smart, very forward-thinking people. They've come up with their own way to create these very rare, make the diamonds rare again. Sorry. I didn't know that I was doing that until it came out of my face. make it so that they make diamonds that only they're super rare and super specific to the plainsmen. So maybe there are factions throughout Africa who make these diamonds and do other things, but then the one we're focusing on are the conservationists who live on this plain where they have their animals, but I still think their building should be something weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if a tree is the right word, but maybe it's a tree house. Maybe it looks like a tree house.
I mean, for hyper-realism, that could work. I was thinking like building into the side of a mountain.
What about building it into the side of like a giant oak tree? Or inside of an oak tree.
So building inside of a salmon tree.
Yeah, like a gigantic, there's a gigantic tree in the middle of this conservation area, and it's inside of it, built into it, and all around it is their base. And then it, like a tree house, you see pieces of it coming out, and there's like very elegant, very space age pieces of a building sticking out of this old crazy tree.
There you go. That works.
I like it. I like all of this.
That works a lot.
Is there anything we are missing before we close out this episode? I really want to see an image of you and I as plainsmen, and then some lady, some big, strong black lady with missing an arm with a lion.
We can do something.
I'm trying to think of it.
Do we include spears at any point in this? Do we become those people?
They can have maybe the spears are harpoons or something and a gun. I don't want them chucking them. Is my thing. Like if they were.
Here's the thing. Like, I think of that in my head. And I think back to Street Fighter V, where like one of the doll characters, the only black doll character, her power is literally her throwing a spear at people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chucking spears.
My thing is that what would they throw a spear at someone for?
See, I like the nets. This is where the personal research has to come into play. Like traditional weaponry of African tribes, and then go from there. Yeah. Because I mean, we could make it work. Because once again, this is hyper reality, so it'd be hyper stereotypes.
I would love a spear, but more along the lines of like Aquaman's trident or something. Something.
Like it's like each spear has it like green arrows. Like each spear has a particular reason for being.
Maybe it's like a
EMP spear. You know,
I like the idea of having multiple spears.
Nuclear spear.
Yeah, and maybe they're like attached. Maybe they're all attached to their belts, or they have like a bandolier across their chest, and they're all these like lightsaber handle looking things. And then when they click it, it's a spear comes out, and the tip is something different.
Mm-hmm.
And one could be a fist.
Guys, to understand that reference, you have to go back to the Injustice 2 podcast.
Yep. Tying it all together.
Look it up, guys. Look it up.
I like that idea. Multiple spears with multiple uses in some sort of, like, everyone can have a different way of bringing it with them. Like, someone might have like a bag of them, just like the lazy guy who just throws all his spears in a bag. Or someone could have a bandolier of the, I think the leader, the lady, she should have like two bandoliers, like an old gunslinger across her chest of just multiple green arrow type spears. Someone can have them around their belt, like another gunslinger. Or one guy has one spear. He only uses the one spear. That's what he's known for. No, just put him in a box. Like, oh man, there goes, what's his name? He has the EMP spear, and that's all he uses, and he really knows how to use it.
Oh, yeah. That works just fine. That works. As you're talking, the images are popping up in my head and trying to figure out how to work this.
All I'm doing is trying to feed the creative juices for you to make it, as Patrick Stewart would say, make it so.
Make it so.
I think that's enough for the listening peoples. I think what will happen next is if we can rally some of Dan's time, he can make that image, and then we'll because I want to keep talking about this. We'll continue talking about this offline and try and flesh it out some more. But thank you, everyone, for listening to this edition of The Forge. I just put my fingers in finger quotes for some reason. I hope you enjoyed our take on the Plainsmen, our Kingsmen and Statesmen send-up. If you did, please visit us on Twitter at superblack.org. Visit Dan on Instagram at the Carnival Prince and buy his book. It's very wonderful.
Buy my book. Buy my book.
That is not at all a shameless plug. We don't have advertisers, so that's the best you're going to get. Thanks again for listening. Please listen to all the other episodes on the site. And we're done. Full stop.
See you later, guys.